RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia's women participation in politics must be increased. Indonesian government accelerates establishment of national cyber agency. Finance minister said 2016 economic growth projected at 5%. Now the news in detail. The increasing of Indonesian women's participation in political activities should become government's biggest attention. Coordinator of the Alliance for Women and Politics, ANSIPOL, Yuda Irlang, on Wednesday in Jakarta said that the representation of women in politics has only reached 18% below the target of 30%, which has been initiated in the law. On the upcoming 2019 general election, Yuda Irlang expected the target of 30% women representation can be achieved. The women must fight to achieve higher position by strengthening affirmative actions, as mentioned in the law, so that the 30% target of women representation can be achieved. Furthermore, Yuda Irlang said that in order to increase women representation in politics, she encouraged that the state and political parties can play their role to support the effort. According to her, both state and political parties were the most important element to play their role in creating policies that support women's development in politics. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that the government will speed up the establishment of the National Cyber Agency, which will serve as a monitoring agency for the country's national cyber activities. Currently, the Defense Ministry has its own Cyber Defense Division, while the State Intelligence Agency and the National Police each have their Cyber Intelligence and Cyber Crime Division, respectively. Wiranto said on Tuesday, January 3, 2017, that the government also plans to apply an electronic voting system, which is expected to minimize the occurrence of election disputes. Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara added that the increasing number of false news or hoax being spread through social media is one of the main reasons of the establishment of the National Cyber Agency. The team will focus on handling social media and public websites, excluding private information. Indonesia's economy grew at an estimated 5% in 2016, higher than 4.8% growth in 2015, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said on Tuesday. Sri Mulyani said the economic growth in 2016 is projected at 5% below the assumption of the revised state budget, but relatively better than growth in 2015 at 4.8%. The country's economic performance was better than that of other G20 nations and developing countries, which were affected by global economic slowdown, she claimed. Economic growth during the fourth quarter of 2016 is projected at 4.7%, supported by improvement in household consumption and investment. In addition, she said the national inflation rate was relatively under control during 2016 at 3.02%, lower than the assumption in the revised state budget of 4%. Economic stability was also reflected in the strong rupiah, which was recorded at 13,307 rupiah against the US dollar, higher than the assumption of 13,500 rupiah in the revised budget. In facing the macroeconomic condition in 2016, the state budget deficit remained under control at a safe level of 2.46% of GDP. Indonesia suspended cooperation with the Australian military in December for technical reasons, a spokesman for the Indonesian Defense Forces said on Wednesday, January 4, 2017, after an offensive material was seen at an Australian training base. Indonesian military TNI spokesman Major General Wuryanto said all forms of cooperation have been suspended. He said a broad range of activities would be affected. Wuryanto also said that there are technical matters that need to be discussed. Among these issues was offensive training material seen at an Australian military base. It was highly likely cooperation would resume once those issues were resolved. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has officially announced that the extension of the Tinombala Joint Police Military Operation by 3 months until April this year to root out what remains of the East Indonesia Mujahideen terrorist group in Central Sulawesi. Tito told reporters the extended operation was aimed at hunting down the remaining 10 MIT members, including Ali Kalora, who has taken a leadership role in the group following the death of its former leader, Santoso Elias Abu Wardah, during a raid in Poso in July last year. Working to pursue remnants of the MIT terror group, Operation Tinombala concluded on January 3rd. Originally named Camar Malio, the operation was initiated in 2015 to hunt down and neutralize the MIT, a terrorist group operating in Poso, Central Sulawesi. The operation had been extended several times because of its failures to capture Santoso. Operation Tinombala Commander Brigadier General Rudy Safariadi previously said the operation had managed to hunt down 32 MIT members, 10 of whom had been captured alive, while the two others, I should say 20 others, were killed during shootouts against security personnel. The People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, has asked the government to review the country's national transportation policy, particularly with regard to administration, worthiness, and safety. MPR Deputy Chairman Hidayat Nur Wahid said Jakarta on Tuesday that the Zahro Express ferry fire is not a good New Year gift. After all, the government is willing to increase foreign tourists, but it seems that it is not prepared for the safety aspect of transportation. He made the statement while referring to incidents such as the Zahro Express fire that killed 23 passengers on Sunday and the CityLink airplane pilot who came drunk to the airport and was stopped from flying the plane only due to the protest by alert passengers. The Zahro Express boat fire incident, according to Hidayat, reminded him of the drunk pilot Captain Tekad Purna, who tried to fly the KG-800 CityLink airplane from Surabaya to Jakarta in an inebriated condition. The government should guarantee the safety of passengers by checking all modes of transportation and ensuring that everything is in good condition. He called for improvement in all modes of transportation, both air, land, or sea. The last item. The uncertainty on gas prices and the increased regional competition hurt the performance of sheet glass industry in 2017. Chairman of the Sheet and Safety Glass Association, Justinus Gunawan, said that glass manufacturers are still cautious of their 2017 production plan. Justinus said on Tuesday, January 3, 2017, that uncertain production cost is their main concern. Furthermore, according to Justinus, Indonesia currently has a new emerging competitor in Malaysia. A China-owned factory in Malaysia will start production this year, which can potentially decrease Indonesia's market share in the region. A survey conducted by Market showed that Indonesian factories have reduced their production in December, while in fact their output reduced drastically since July. Factory management reported a 22% decrease in production volume. The production cut followed by the low level of demands has caused a lack of stock of the finished products and raw materials at the factory's warehouses. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia's women participation in politics must be increased. Indonesian government accelerates establishment of national cyber agency. Finance minister said 2016 economic growth projected at 5%. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Russian Diplomats Expelled. During the last months of his administration, the United States President Barack Obama ordered the expulsions of 35 Russian diplomats from the country. The charges against them were not trivial. The Russian diplomats were considered to be involved in the cyber hacking affairs during the U.S. presidential elections some time ago. The Republican candidate Donald Trump won the elections over Hillary Clinton. Though Clinton won the popular vote, Trump swept over the Electoral College that determines who gets into the White House for the next 4 years. On Sunday, January 1, 2017, the expelled diplomats left Washington, D.C. Obama called it a retaliation for the Russia action. In addition to 35 expelled diplomats, Washington also ordered the closures of two facilities used by the Russians in the Maryland and New York. America accused Russia has made the two places as a means of intelligence gathering centers. However, Moscow denied all U.S. allegations. Russian presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Washington is trying to damage the relationship through the allegations. Kremlin threatened a retaliation, but President Vladimir Putin said he would not expel American diplomats from Russia. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump dubbed U.S. intelligence conclusion that Russia had interfered in the presidential election through computer hacking. Trump wants to make sure that American intelligence sources used for the hacking allegations were really correct. Trump himself stated during the campaign period that he would bring the presidential election results to court if he lost. In a secret investigation by the CIA early December, it was found that Russia had figured out a way to win Donald Trump in the last election. President Obama ordered an evaluation on cyber attacks allegations against the presidential election. In a Washington Post report on December 9, 2016, there were a number of people close to Moscow who gave Hillary team's confidential emails to WikiLeaks prior to the election. Banishing diplomats is nothing new in foreign relations. Diplomats cannot be subjected to legal prosecution due to their immunity, but may be given the status of a persona non grata and expelled. Other parties are not in a position to interfere with this bilateral problem, but the world generally expects relations between the two superpowers stable, for it is an indicator of the world economic and political balance. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Now we start from an event which occurred on January 4, 1946. The capital city of the Republic of Indonesia was moved to Yogyakarta. Since the era of colonialism, Jakarta, which was known as Batavia, has become the capital city of Indonesia. However, after Indonesia gaining independence from any kind of colonialism, the capital city of Indonesia was moved to Yogyakarta Autonomous Region. The moving capital city of Indonesia was triggered by situation in Jakarta, which was not conducive to become the government's center. At that time, Allied troops have landed, while Japanese soldiers still stayed. Riot was getting tense following political conflict between figures in Indonesia. Some plots of murder threatened Indonesian top officials. The conflict disturbed the governments. With the initiative and offer from the first Yogyakarta governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, the central government was allowed to move by sending couriers on January 2, 1946. The offer was warmly welcomed by the government in Jakarta. On January 4, 1946, the Indonesian president and vice president moved to Yogyakarta. On January 4, 1948, Myanmar gained its independence from the United Kingdom. In the 19th century, following three Anglo-Burmese wars, Burma was colonized by Britain. On April 1, 1937, Burma became a separately administered colony of Great Britain, and Ban Mao, the first prime minister and premier of Burma. Ban Mao was an outspoken advocate for Burmese self-rule, and he opposed the participation of Great Britain and by extension Burma in World War II. He resigned from the Legislative Assembly and was arrested for sedition. A major battleground, Burma was devastated during the Second World War. Although many Burmese fought initially for the Japanese, some Burmese, mostly from the ethnic minorities, also served in the British Burma Army. Following the World War II, Aung San negotiated the Panglong Agreement with ethnic leaders that guaranteed the independence of Burma as a unified state. In 1947, Aung San became deputy chairman of the Executive Council of Burma, a transitional government. But in July 1947, political rivals backed by the British assassinated Aung San and several cabinet members. On January 4, 1948, the nation became an independent republic named the Union of Burma, with Saw Swee Thaik as its first president and U Nu as its first prime minister. Unlike most other former British colonies and overseas territories, it did not become a member of the Commonwealth. Now we conclude today's segment of Today in History with NASA managed to landing in Mars on January 4, 2004. Since space missions was initiated by the United States and the Soviet Union in the early 50s, many spacecraft sent into space for several times to investigate the planet Mars, primarily to look for a new world similar to Earth. After many Mars mission failures, finally, on January 4, 2004, NASA space probes, the Mars Exploration Rover Spirit, or MIR-A, landing without any problems on the surface of Mars. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Voy Green. Today we'll inform you about Walhi Lampung Chapter Socializing the Village Forest Program. The Indonesian Forum for the Environment, Walhi Lampung Chapter Socialized Village Forest Program, Register 3 of Gunung Rajabasa, South Lampung, Kalianda Subdistrict, on Saturday, the dissemination activities as well as consolidation was attended by representatives of 15 villages from 22 villages which have the right to manage the forest villages. The village forest managers are those who have received the degree of determining of forest village working area. Executive Director of Walhi Lampung, Hendrawan, in his speech said, that the socialization and consolidation of village forest was held in order to continue the social forestry advisory work, which was delayed in 2014-2015. Hendrawan said he would escort people to get a license from the village forest management, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, or the provincial government of Lampung. According to Hendrawan, with their latest legal rules, namely the regulation of the Environment and Forestry Minister No. 83-2016 on the social forestry, there was some convenience for residents in the surrounding forests to submit proposals of village forests. In the minister's regulation mentioned, those who have the right to issue the social forestry permit is the Minister of Environment and Forestry or the Governor. Therefore, the Indonesian Environmental Forum, WALHI, will accompany the social forestry in other places, such as in Register 19 Gunung Betung. Based on the indicative map area of social forestry, the social forestry in the province of Lampung spread in several districts and cities, including in the city of Bandar Lampung. Seeing from the scheme, there are assortment of social forestry such as the forest village, community forest partnership, and the forest plantation. Hopefully, with the social forestry program, is able to get the support of many parties, especially of the Regional Representative Council and the Provincial Government of Lampung. Thus, it will be issued the Regional Regulation and Governor Regulation on Social Forestry in Lampung Province to facilitate the work of mentoring social forestry in Lampung Province. Listener, that was The Voy Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The increasing of Indonesian women's participation in political activities should become government's biggest attention. Coordinator of the Alliance for Women and Politics, ANSIPOL, Yuda Irlang, on Wednesday in Jakarta said that the representation of women in politics has only reached 18%, below the target of 30% which has been initiated in the law. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that the government will speed up the establishment of the National Cyber Agency, which will serve as a monitoring agency for the country's national cyber activities. Currently, the Defense Ministry has its own Cyber Defense Division, while the State Intelligence Agency and the National Police each have their Cyber Intelligence and Cyber Crime Division, respectively. Indonesia's economy grew at an estimated 5% in 2016, higher than 4.8% growth in 2015, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said Tuesday. Sri Mulyani said the economic growth in 2016 is projected at 5%, below the assumption of the revised state budget, but relatively better than growth in 2015 at 4.8%. Indonesia suspended cooperation with the Australian military in December for technical reasons, a spokesman for the Indonesian Defense Forces said on Wednesday, January 4, 2017, after an offensive material was seen at an Australian training base. The National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has officially announced the extension of the Tinombala Joint Police Military Operation by 3 months until April this year, to root out what remains of the East Indonesia Mujahideen terrorist group in central Sulawesi. The People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, has asked the government to review the country's national transportation policy, particularly with regard to administration, worthiness, and safety. MPR Deputy Chairman Hidayat Nur Wahid said in Jakarta that the Zahro Express ferry fire is not a good New Year gift. After all, the government is willing to increase foreign tourists, but it seems that it is not prepared for the safety aspect of the transportation. The uncertainty on gas prices and the increased regional competition hung the performance of sheet glass industry in 2017. Chairman of the Sheet and Safety Glass Association, Justinus Gunawan, said that glass manufacturers are still cautious of their 2017 production plan. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95.5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit an island in the eastern of Indonesia. This place is published on New Banknote. This place is published on New Banknote 1,000 rupiah. Stay tuned. Listeners, New Year means hunting for new tourism object. In today's edition, we will present Banda Neira Island in Maluku Province. Many activities can be done here, beginning from cultural tourism until natural tourism. Let's start our trip to Banda Neira with Banda Volcano. Mountain as high as 670 meters erupted in May 1988. If you are interested to climb this mountain from Neira Island across to Gunung Api Island, it takes around 10 minutes. To go there, you can use katiting, a kind of small boat which can accommodate around 3 until 4 persons. From above of the mountain, you will see beautiful nature of Banda Neira. For historical tour, you can come to Belgica Fortress, which is legacy of the Portuguese and built in the 16th century. This fortress was used to dispel Banda people's resistance against the Dutch threat monopoly of nutmeg by Vereeniging the Oostindische Company, or VOC. Another historical place which is worth being visited is Mini Palace. It is called Mini Palace because shape of this building is like State Palace in Jakarta, but its size is smaller. Actually, this building is replica of its original one, which is previously in Nassau Fortress. If you want to snorkel, you can visit Hatta Island, which has white sand with wave, which is not quite big. There is also Pisang Island. The scenery on this island is very beautiful, with big rock stone at the beach. Listeners, Banda Island has functioned as center of administration of Banda Sub-District, Central Maluku Regency, Maluku Province. In the past, Banda Neira was a place of nutmeg and fully or nutmeg skin, trade of the world, which is expensive spice commodity and most wanted. No wonder, processed food of nutmeg like nutmeg jam can be found easily in Banda Neira. To go to Banda Neira, you can use air and sea line. For airline from Patimura Airport in Ambon, you can continue flight to Banda Neira. If you choose sea line, you can cross to Banda Sea by using ferry, which operates twice a week from Ambon to Banda Neira. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Banda Neira. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, and welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we are featuring a topic entitled Makan Bersama, which in English means eating together. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will first introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Makan bersama. Makan bersama in English, to eat together. Sudah selesai kuliah. Sudah selesai kuliah. After the class break. Jam 10. Jam 10. 10 o'clock. Kalau begitu. Kalau begitu. So, maukah kamu? Maukah kamu? In English, do you want to or can you? Menemani. Menemani in English, to accompany. Makan. Makan. To eat. Karena. Karena. Because. Sangat lapar. Sangat lapar. Very hungry. Boleh. Boleh. To allow or may. Di mana? Di mana? Where? Restoran Padang. Restoran Padang. Padang restaurant. Dua jam lagi. Dua jam lagi. 2 hours to go. Kelas tata bahasa. Kelas tata bahasa. Grammar class. Mari kita pergi. Mari kita pergi. Let's go. Now, listener, we will give you an example of conversation entitled Makan Bersama or Eating Together. The conversation is between A. Lia and B. Mira. I'll say the sentences twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Lia. Hai Mira, apakah kamu sudah selesai kuliah? Hai Mira, apakah kamu sudah selesai kuliah? In English. Hai Mira, have you finished the class? B. Mira. Hai Lia, ya, saya sudah selesai kuliah. Dan kamu? Hai Lia. Ya, saya sudah selesai kuliah. Dan kamu? In English. Hai Lia. Yes, I have finished my class. How about you? A. Lia. Saya sudah selesai sejak jam 10 tadi. Saya sudah selesai sejak jam 10 tadi. I have been done since 10 o'clock. B. Mira. Kalau begitu, maukah kamu menemani saya makan? Karena saya sangat lapar. Kalau begitu, maukah kamu menemani saya makan? Karena saya sangat lapar. In English, so, do you want to come with me to eat? I'm very hungry. A. Lia. Boleh. Di mana kita mau makan? Boleh. Di mana kita mau makan? In English, sure. Where shall we go to eat? B. Mira. Kita makan di restoran Padang saja. Karena 2 jam lagi saya ada kelas tata bahasa. Kita makan di restoran Padang saja. Karena 2 jam lagi saya ada kelas tata bahasa. In English, we can just eat at the Padang restaurant. Because I still have a grammar class within the next 2 hours. A. Lia. Baiklah, mari kita pergi. Baiklah, mari kita pergi. In English, alright, let's go. Listener, that was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it will be useful for those of you who want to learn more Bahasa Indonesia. See you again next week and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. Into this edition, we will present you to Anang Hermansyah, an Indonesian pop singer. Listener, before talking about the career of the ex-husband of the Indonesian famous pop singer Krisdayanti, we would like to say a Happy New Year 2017. Hopefully this year becomes the year with blessing for all of us to reach the goals. Listener, we invite you to enjoy a song from Anang Hermansyah entitled Separuh Waktu Pergi.
Pergi. Memang indah semua, tapi berakhir luka. Kau main hati dengan sadarmu. Kau tinggal aku, benar ku mencintaimu, tapi tak begini. Curangi aku, benar ku mencintaimu, tapi tak begini. Kau hianati hati ini, kau curangi aku.
Anang began his music career seriously in 1990s. He joined with a band in Bandung, then met with a number of artists and song composers and musicians in the country. From that, Anang began to follow the activities of his predecessors by releasing the first album entitled
Anang, although it could not penetrate the market. He tried to strengthen his solo album with his former wife, an Indonesian diva, Krisdayanti, to release the next album, which contained the songs entitled Buah Hati and Cinta. Duet albums with Krisdayanti has managed to be well accepted in the market and brought the couple singers very famous in the Indonesian music industry. Anang forward his career by producing his own songs. The songs became hit songs in the country and took the highest rate in the Indonesian pop music chart in the radio stations all over the world. Listener now will take you to listen the next song entitled Bila Cinta Tak Dosa.
Yeah.
That was a glimpse of Anang Hermansyah, a musician, singer, as well as song composer and producer, who reached a success through a long path. Currently, he became member of parliament from the National Mandate Party. He met Asanti, who later became his wife and mother of his two children. All right, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Hujan Pun Menangis. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Dunia
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
hiasi setiap detik nafasku. Geluti jiwaku. Jantungku denyutkan namamu. Darahku mengalir deras denganmu. Ragaku terkuras. Belajarlah untuk cinta. Dicinta banyak untuk cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Cukup sudah kau hancurkan aku. Usai sudah kau lukai hati ini. Pupus sudah cinta yang terjalin. Hancur sudah apa yang telah kita bikin. Kau bilang tak pernah bahagia selama ini kau hidup.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.